Rabbi Blade's words. Thank you, everybody, for coming. To take off on a federal holiday and come to learn is a tremendous thing. The topic today is the topic of Halachos of Zmanim. If you did not finish the booklet, don't worry. You'll be able to follow the shiur. The purpose is to give you a little bit of background, but the shiur will be followable. Don't worry about it. Don't get nervous.
Take
the packet home and finish it over the next 3 weeks. The next federal holiday shiur is January 21st, so you have 3 weeks till the next shiur. We're very honored to have Rabbi Heber join us today. Rabbi Heber is a internationally known expert on the topic of Zmanim. He has published a sefer on this topic. He has a column, in a weekly column in a newspaper on calendrical issues, calculations. I think it's called calendrical calculations. And Rabbi Heber and I go back many, many years. We were, I would say, 1981, something of that sort. We were together, and we've met and we've become friends since then. And it's been very special to have a friend join us. But you should treat him as a tremendous Talmud Chacham that he is. And it's our honor to have Rabbi Heber join us.
Thank you very much, Shus, Rheingold, and Chashav Rabbonim, and Chashav Albatim, who've come on this morning to learn. It's such a beautiful sight to see. Baroi Vam Hadras Melech, it's really a beautiful thing. You know, today is January 1st, New Year's Day, a very appropriate day to talk about Zmanim, not only because the Gemara tells us that, not only because people are beginning the civil New Year, but also there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which we'll just briefly mention as introduction, that says that Adam Arishon, when he did the Avera, when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, from the Tree of Knowledge, which was Rosh Hashanah. And of course, we know in Parshas Bereishis, this was a terrible Avera that he had done. From Rosh Hashanah on, the days begin to get shorter and shorter. They get shorter and shorter. And Adam Arishon thought that he's doomed, that eventually the world is going to be totally dark. And when the first day of winter came, so the Gemara says that he realized that's the shortest day, and the next day he saw that the days are getting longer and longer and longer. So he said, Minhag Shalaylam, this is not a punishment, this is the way the world operates. This is nature. This is nature. And he celebrated with the Yontif, and the Gemara actually, why is Avodah Zarah? Because they made it into Avodah Zarah. They misunderstood Adam. Adam was not worshipping the sun, but rather giving thanks to Hashem that it was a festival of lights, because the light, he had realized that he's going to not be in the dark, but rather the lights would continue. So it's just interesting that the Gemara calls that Kalanda, the Mishnah says, the name of that Yontif that was after the winter solstice, the first day of winter. The holiday lasted for 8 days. It's called Kalanda, and which seems to be the root of the word calendar that we use. So, and it actually, how interesting it is that it was 8 days after the beginning of the winter, so our calendar begins at the time that Adam Arishon called this time Kalanda, which has to do with praise of Hashem. There's different pshatim in the Yerushalmi exactly what that means. Some say the Pnei Moshe learns it means a good day, or which would be symbolic of the concept of a good year, which the first day of the month, in, I believe, in Greek or Roman, was called Kalanda. So it's very appropriate to talk on this day, because we're not celebrating New Year, but rather we recognize that the days get longer and shorter, which Adam Arishon saw, and therefore, because of that, we have to understand the ramifications in halacha of the days that are shorter and longer, and how to deal with those days. What I'd like to go through are really the course of the day, and talk about the times that relate to us. Now, of course, the basic times we're familiar with. We know that lichtbenching, candle lighting, is 18 minutes before sunset, and we know that in the morning we daven at such and such time, etc. What I want to focus on are, number one, the sugya that you learned, and get an appreciation of the times of the evening, and then apply that as well to the times of the morning, and talk about halacha lemaisa as far as, let's say, you have an early morning flight, or how to daven early in the morning, or how early can you daven mincha, what exactly is shkia, when is seisik hachavim. If we have a little time at the end, we'll talk about some interesting zmanim issues that come up in the course of our comings and goings. You learned to the Gemara, you saw a Gemara Pesachim and a Gemara in Shabbos. And one Gemara, and the famous question on these Gemaras already brought on the daf by Taisa speaks about it, the Rabbeinu Tam speaks about it, is the Gemara said that in Shabbos, the Gemara seems to indicate that Bein Hashmashas, twilight, is 3/4 of a mil. What does that mean? That means the time it takes to walk 3/4 of a mil. A mil is approximately a kilometer, approximately 7/10 of a mile. So how long does it take to walk 3/4 of a mil? Not that long. It's a machloikis exactly how long it takes to walk a mil. Some learn 24 minutes, some learn 22.5 minutes, some learn 18 minutes. In fact, the 18-minute matzah, who invented the 18-minute matzah? Where does that come from? It comes from that chametz, if you don't push down the dough before you put it in the oven, if you don't handle with it, you don't work the dough for the time it takes to walk a mil, then it's going to be chametz. How long does it take to walk a mil? So for purposes of chametz, we take the stringent opinion and we say it takes only 18 minutes to walk a mil, and therefore if dough sits for 18 minutes, we consider it as chametz because it begins to rise. So the 18-minute matzah was what comes from this the time it takes to walk a mil. The Gemara here says that Bein HaShemashes, what is Bein HaShemashes? Twilight. As we know scientifically, when the sun goes down, it remains light outside. It doesn't get dark the second the sun drops. The refraction of the sun light is able to bring light to the earth. The more, the further down the sun goes, the darker it gets. So what the Gemara is addressing is the period of Bein HaShemashes, which we consider as Safik Yoim, Safik Laila. We don't know whether it's day or night. It's day until the sun goes down. When it gets dark outside, it's night. And anywhere in between is a Safik. That's why, of course, Friday, Bein HaShemashes, we keep a Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, Saturday afternoon, we also keep Shabbos during that period of time. So Shabbos is roughly not 24 hours, but rather it's 25 hours. And a lot of people use the term, they say, you know, Saturday is from sunset to sunset on Saturday. It's not true. Shabbos goes from sunset until it gets dark on Shabbos afternoon. I had an email interesting from Sweden. Somebody sent me a Shaila, who I thought was a Shaila from Sweden. He's in northern regions. If we have time, we'll talk about it later. And in there, I read the way he was writing me the Shaila. He says, you know, we know that Shabbos is when it gets dark on Friday, but it doesn't really get dark around here. What do I, you know, how do I deal with this? So I wrote him back. I said that, well, 1 second, Shabbos doesn't start when it gets dark on Friday. Shabbos starts when the sun goes down. So he wrote me back, I'm not Jewish, but I try to keep the Jewish customs. So I said, I breathed a sigh of relief that it wasn't a Yid. That was, then I, you know, then okay, how am I going to answer him? I asked, where are you in Sweden? He told me he's in Stockholm. I said, Stockholm, the sun goes down there. You know, there's not too many issues. And then we, you know, I didn't go to any, you know, drushes weiter on this issue. Anyway, there are Yidden everywhere. There are Yidden everywhere. I once wrote an email to the I was working on this on the topic of northern regions and so on. So I sent to Barrow, Alaska, which is one of the scientific stations that they deal with the Arctic North Pole. It's the northern tip of the United States. It's the northern tip. I wrote something about you know, kosher. I'm working on an article. The response I got back was, Shalom Aleichem. That was the answer. It turned out he wasn't Jewish either, but he'd work. but he'd work with Yidden. So Bein HaShemashes is twilight. How long is twilight is a critical question because we need to know when Shabbos ends in order to understand when to keep the halachas. So the Gemara in Shabbos says it's the time it takes 3/4 of a mil. So let's say 18 minutes is a mil. So that's only 13.5 minutes. Let's even take the 24-minute opinion. That's only 18 minutes. So that's roughly 18 minutes after sunset, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, would be Shabbos would end. On the other hand, we have a Gemara in Pesachim that says that it takes 4 mil to go ahead and have Bein HaShemashes is 4, the time it takes to walk 4 mil. Well, if a mil is 18 minutes, 18 times 4 is 72. So that means Shabbos is over 72 minutes after sunset. So we have what would seem to be a machloikis over here, because some learn the Ikra Gemara is Pesachim. I'm not going to get into the mechanics of how to answer each Gemara, but we have the Ga'inim and the Vilna Ga'in as well held that the Ikra Sugya is the Gemara in Shabbos. That's the primary halacha, and therefore Bein HaShemashes is really only 18 minutes. But the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the Iker Sugya is in Psachim. He explains that there's really different ways of calculating sunset, which again, we don't have the time to elaborate on. But he says the primary Psach is 72 minutes. So we have a Machloikis that dates back exactly how long is Banish Mashas. Is it 18 minutes or is it 72 minutes? Now, again, 18 minutes being 3/4 of 24 minutes. Now, the Vilna Gaon explains, not so fast, and we have to appreciate this for a discussion we're going to have a little bit later. And that is that, you know what? We're trying to measure darkness over here. The Gaon says it's not 18 minutes everywhere in the world. It's the same amount of darkness. It is important. It's not 18 minutes, but it's the same amount of darkness when it's dark in Yerushalayim on the March the 21st at the equinox. How dark is it 18 minutes after sunset? How dark is it? So, and how do you measure? You take a picture? Well, there's something known as a solar depression angle. A solar depression angle is when the sun is a certain distance below the horizon, and that amount of distance, the further north you go, the greater the time it takes to reach that angle. So the longer the Bein HaShemashas. I was in Reykjavik, Iceland, I was changing planes. And I had a special opportunity. I was there for maybe 2 hours. The Baruch Shalom made it that I was there, Bein HaShemashas. I couldn't, it was like a kid in a candy store, right? I was so excited because the Bein HaShemashas of Reykjavik. Reykjavik is almost by the Arctic Circle. And I was watching very carefully. And I looked out the window. We boarded the plane. I was looking the whole Bein HaShemashas out the window. And then we boarded the plane. It was over an hour. It was like 72 minutes after sunset. And I looked outside. And it was light like in Washington, a half hour after sunset. Half hour after sunset, it's not pitch black. You go outside 72 minutes after sunset, it's dark, very dark. You go out a half hour, the answer is because Reykjavik is so far north, that it takes much longer. The Bein HaShemashas is so much longer to take place. So the Vilna Gaon said that it's not 18 minutes, it's 18 minutes Yerushalayim on March 21st. But if you're in Washington, if you're in Silver Spring, then it's going to take longer. And if you get away from March the 21st, it's also going to take longer. So therefore, we're going to call it the extended Gaonim's Bein HaShemashas. So Halakha L'maisa, as is known, we really extend it until there are three stars. And therefore, the minig in the minig America is that Bein HaShemashas goes till the different opinions. Some wait 42 minutes, some wait 50 minutes, some wait 60 minutes, some wait 72 minutes, like the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, that is the time of the Bein HaShemashas in the evening. What's important to know is that until you reach Tzeitzik HaChavim, it's only Safik Yoim. It's only a question whether it's day or night. So therefore, if a person davens Maariv early, we have the right to daven Maariv after sunset, it's critical that you repeat Kriya Shema, because Kriya Shema has to be said only balayla, only at night. Because at night is the Zman of Shema. You have to eat the Sukkah at night. You have to eat Matzah at night. It's very hard with daylight savings time. The Zman of, you can't start the Seder until the time of Tzeitzik HaChavim, until the time that it gets dark. And therefore, this is why we wait this period of time of the Bein HaShemashas, because it's an extended Gaonim, like the Gemara and Shabbos. Again, some people go like the Rabbeinu Tam. I want to swing to the morning and talk about the Bein HaShemashas of the morning. Now that we understand the evening, let's talk about the morning twilight. The morning has twilight, but it's in the opposite direction. If you went outside this morning at, let's say, 7 a.m., it was about a half hour before sunrise. The sun rose this morning probably about 7:27 or so, 7:28. So, and now, if you go outside at 7 in the morning, you go outside, you would have seen light. It's the twilight of the morning. However, there's a fundamental difference. Yerushalmi, the beginning of Brachas, elaborates on why there's a difference. But the morning twilight is Vadayoyim. The morning twilight is not Suffolk Yoyim, Suffolk Lila. Vadayoyim means it's definitively day. So at the crack of dawn, it's day. At the crack of dawn, it's day. So when was dawn this morning? Well, if let's say sunrise this morning was 7:27. So how do you calculate dawn? So the Minig America, the Rav Henkin, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, said dawn is 72 minutes before sunrise. And in fact, he said it really for the whole America any day of the year. More on this in a moment. 72 minutes. So that means dawn would be at 6:15 in the morning. 6:15 in the morning is Vada Yoim. is definitively day, but the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara and Masechta Megillah say that Chazal said l'chadchila a person should not do mitzvahs hayoim, daytime mitzvahs, until sunrise. Why? Because people will get mixed up. Because you're going to go outside at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to see that it's you're going to see light from the stars, from the moon. You're going to go down shachris, and all of a sudden you're going to realize it's only 3 in the morning, right? You're going to realize that it's 3 o'clock in the morning. What's going on over here? And then you will. David Shachris, this really happened. A Rav in Australia told me that he was on a Dreamliner flight. And on Dreamliners, they darken the windows. All the windows are dark, so it looks like it's dark all the time. He didn't realize that. So, and he knows Manim very well, this Rav, but yet this Manim seemed to be off, but he looked outside and he saw a moon. So he figured, okay, Gadav Marav. See, so David's Marav, and he goes over to after the flight attendant. He said, wow, you know, it got dark so early. What a beautiful moon outside. The flight attendant said, you were looking at the sun through the Dreamliner windows, dark and everything. So he says, wait a minute, I daven Marav wrong. But that's just an example where, right, where you could get tricked. On a plane, it's very tricky. You can get tricked by what you think something is, and really it isn't. So same thing in the morning. However, b'shas hadchak, a person has the ability to do mitzvahs hayoyim from alois hashachar, because it's vadayoyim. So for example, if a person had a need to daven shachris early, and many people go to work, really the ideal time for shachris is sunrise. That would be, that's the ideal time is vasikin, which means you're davening Shemoneh Esrei at sunrise. And of course you have more time than that. You have up until the Seifzman of Tefillah, which is later. But Bishas Adchak, a person has the ability to daven early. So many of you go to work, I'm sure during the week, and you need to daven early. So that's why you'll have minyanim that'll start at 6:30 in the morning, even though sunrise is not until 7:27. One really should not begin davening until 72 minutes before sunrise, which means that on a day like today, you don't want to start davening before 6:15, right? Before 6:15, because 6:15 is Alois HaShachar, and therefore you should not daven before that. I remember I was once in an airport, and I had to take a flight. I'll explain to you how to deal with what to do in an airport. And I was in the airport, and I think, okay, I'm going to start right at Alois HaShachar, you know, the plane. I want to board the plane, especially if you're Southwest. You got to be online because you don't have an assigned seat, you know, so you don't want that middle seat. You want to get there. So I'm calculating the times. I'm going to the gate. I said, okay, I can start now. And I see this somebody with a carpet that's beginning. She's beginning her prayers, right? I said, oh, right? They also do 72 minutes, right? I guess I have the right time. Right? I guess I have the right time. So what do you do in an airport if you want to daven? So in the shuls usually make it that brachas does not begin before 72 minutes. So the way to daven is ideally as follows. If you have a flight to catch, or you have to leave early in the morning, or people go to work and they can't make it to shul and they have to just daven at home, or even in the summer you could have this. Summer you have to leave your house at 5 o'clock in the morning, sunrise at 5:40, even in June. So can I daven at 4:30? When can I daven? How can I daven? So there's one more factor here, and that is that the amount of talis and tefillin is known as mishiyakir. Mishiyakir, that's a shortened version of the term, and it means when you could see a friend, not your best friend, but somebody that you deal with on an ongoing basis, not everyday basis, but you're an old buddy maybe, and when you could see him from Dalet Amos. So that is a big question, exactly what time that is. So the minig is to wait to recite the bracha until that time. So what you do is, well, here's what I do if I'm in the airport. I start davening, and we're going to go a little more b'dievet in a moment, but the best is to, at 72 minutes before, you say brachas, you put on a talis and tefillin, you don't make a bracha, and then when you finish Shemoneh Esrei, you make a bracha on talis and tefillin, and you finish davening. That's the ideal way. Reb Henkin held that Mishiyakir is 60 minutes before sunrise. So if you start davening 72 before, then you have the ability to make the bracha later, and then you do an atifa on your tzitzis, on your talis, you kiss your tzitzis, and then you go ahead and you finish that, and you move your tefillin, make a bracha on tefillin, and you move your tefillin around, you readjust them, and that is how to do it early in the morning. If a person is a bigger shas hachak, right? Let's say that's just not going to make it. So Reb Moshe had a tshuva that really, and this is, you learned this in the Gemara, some opinions hold that a mil is 22 and a half minutes. not 18. So that means if we're saying that Alois HaShachar is 4 mil before sunrise, the time it takes to walk 4 mil, so now 22 and a half minutes times 4 is 90 minutes. So Ramesha said, if it's a Shas HaChak, if you're really, really, really stuck, then you have the ability to daven even from 90 minutes if you're really stuck. However, and I'm adding this on my own, you don't want to start Yishtabach until 72 minutes before sunrise. Because once you hit 72 minutes, then it's day according to everybody. So okay, I'll put on my talis and tefillin at 90, I'll say brachas, I'll daven pesukim in Zimra, but then at 72 you're getting a head start, and then you start Yishtabach then, and then you finish Shemoneh Esrei at 60. That is the earliest of the earliest. Who's Simach on that? Two examples. In South Bend, Indiana, I actually saw a letter from Rabbi First, who's the Paisik in Chicago, and I actually saw Rabbi First at a chassan in Chicago this past Thursday night, and we were schmoozing about these in Yonim, and I told him I saw the letter hanging in South Bend. In South Bend, the sun rises at 8:15 a.m. at the end of October. 8:15 a.m., which means Alois HaShachar is roughly 7 a.m., which means you can't really do much of anything until 7 a.m. For some people, that's very late, right? It's daylight. With daylight savings time, with the fact that they're the western end of the time zone, means it's extremely late. So he wrote them that they could start davening 90 minutes before. If they have to start in such a place, they could start 90 minutes before sunrise. Sunrise here is 8:15. And that's the six. If they have to start 6:50, I think they start 6:50. They can start 6:50, and of course they end up getting to Yishtabach. It's not a problem. Now let me tell you a trouble day that you should mark on your calendar for all the Gabbaim and Shuls. Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan 2021 is going to be very, very difficult, because Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan 2021. That's not that far off. That's where are we holding? We're holding in 2019. Shine. So it's 2.5 years off. Right, so Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is going to be Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan 2021 is going to have the worst of everything. Why? Because Rosh Chodesh is going to be then on no, it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. I'm sorry, Rosh Chodesh Kislev is going to be on a Friday. It's going to be on a Friday. That Friday is going to be November the 5th. Yes, November the 5th. So it's the hardest of all. Why? Because we changed the clock on the first Sunday in November. That's November 7th, which is the latest possible date to change the clock is November. Actually, the end of October and November is even worse than now. The next 2 weeks are the latest sunrise. In Washington, I would venture to guess about 727, 728. In end of October, it's 735. And when this happens, sunrise is at 740 a.m., even in Washington. And it's Rosh Chodesh. So everyone, oh, Rosh Chodesh, we start at 6 on Rosh Chodesh. Well, guess what? You're not starting at 6 on Rosh Chodesh, because you can't start at 6. 6 is even before everything. So therefore, mark the calendar, tell your boss you're coming a half hour late, right? Take a half hour vacation day, put it in your 2021 schedule, right? And you're coming late to work, because again, you push it, you can't. You don't have the ability to daven early. I was actually in Chicago. Our flight was at 6:55 a.m. It was Southwest. I was together with Rav Rosenbaum, Rebbe, and Yisrael, and a yeshiva bacher. And now we had to calculate, you know, what how are we going to do this? We were landing at 9:40 at BWI. It was Friday morning. We wanted to get home. And we had to amichidus. We had really no option. We were certainly not going to take a later flight on Friday. So how do we do this? So sunrise in Chicago, it came out that 72, I rarely do this, but we had no option. We actually started, I said, okay, about 5:50 we could start. Sunrise is early there. We started around 90, 85 minutes before. And then at 72 minutes, we started Yishtabach. Right, and went into Birchus Kriya Shema. And then we made our bracha on talis and tefillin after Shemoneh Esrei, right? And that way we were Yotzei L'Chad days. It wasn't a problem. There's a bris in my shul on Wednesday. Ramesha Rappaport is going to be the mayel. And I reminded, we daven at 6:30 in my shul, and I told the person who's making the bris, I said, you're not really starting the bris till 7:25, right? Sunrise, 7:27. You don't really want to do the milah itself until maybe a few minutes after sunrise. Make sure it's sunrise, the weather can have an impact, and et cetera. Wait till 7:30, so you can't really start at 7:25. He said he told people 7:15. So, right, Ramesh Rappaport told me he's never done a bris before sunrise. You could. If it's a Shas HaChak, if let's say, you know, someone's baby, we're taking the baby on a plane, you know, we got to go, right? We have to go, you know, and run. So then you could do it from dawn. But lemaisa in a shul, you know, when it's late sunrise, better you wait. So the person making the bris said, you learn after davening, right? I learn always in my shul for 2 minutes after davening. I say a dvar halacha. So I say, you learn. So okay, we'll make it a longer learning that morning because I have to now prepare a whole shir to get from 7 to 7:20 to be able to do that. But that is how, this is the mahalach of how it's done. Now, I want to mention one more thing. We spoke about solar depression angles. This is a very important topic when it comes to fast days. There's a huge, huge machlokes going on. And that is Reb Henkin Paskin, that 72 minutes flat, I'll call it. 72 minutes before sunrise is dawn. And that's the Minhag America, as a Torah Luach, that's what they use. However, there are many that hold that just like the Goyin says solar depression angles by Tzitzik HaChavim, it's the same thing by dawn. It's the same thing by dawn. Dawn is not 72 minutes before sunrise. Dawn is six when the sun is 16.1 degrees below the horizon. That is when dawn is. Because on March the 21st in Eretz in Yerushalayim, the sun is 16.1 degrees. That's a measurement of a distance, of a level of how far the sun is below the horizon. But that, in Washington, on Shavuot B'Tammuz, the sun is 16.1 degrees below the horizon. I'm going to say, you know, 95 minutes before sunrise. I'm making up that number. I don't know the exact number. But it's, so if you look at a luach, and you see that sunrise in June, end of June is going to be, beginning of June is 5:40. By the end of June, Shavuot B'Tammuz, the sun rises at 5:45. You do the math, and you say the fast begins at 4:30. So you're going to get up at 4:30 in the morning, 4:20 in the morning and eat. Not so fast. According to many opinions, if you go with solar depression angles, that means you want the level of darkness that it is. When you're eating, it has to be as dark as it is in Yerushalayim more than 72 minutes before sunrise on March 21st. So that's going to be more like you want to eat at 3:45 a.m. on Shavuot B'Tammuz. Right? You're at 3:45 a.m. So again, this is a machloikis exactly how to do it. I write in my luach, Machmirim Mekilim. I give both options. I put both times down. I personally, I'm Machmir. I always start to. I like to get up before a fast, but I always take the more Machmir time. And but again, Hakol Kafiyah Minig, the different luach, you follow your Meir Hara. But I'm just illustrating that what you've learned this morning has tremendous ramifications on the beginning time of a fast day, because this is how long it's going to take. So I want to move now to the afternoon. Is that a question? No. I want to move on now to the afternoon. We spoke about the morning, and we spoke about the afternoon. I want to now speak about the afternoon, and then I'm going to come back to Kriya Shema. But I want to get an afternoon because afternoon is very, very important. I know it's very important because many of you work, and when you work, you have a short afternoon, especially this time of year. The afternoon is short, and you want to daven mincha. At Baruch Hashem, I know there are minyanim in D.C., there are minyanim in Montgomery County. Baruch Hashem, right? Mikamcha Yisrael. We go ahead and talk, middle of the day. We make a minyan. Actually, mincha, the Gemara says, is the most chaviv tefillah. We learn how Eliyahu Hanavi. But I once saw Va'arvel Hashem Minchas Yehuda. Ramosha Feinstein, Zohar Tzadok Baruch, writes, why is mincha called Arva? I mean, sweet. It's the sweetest tefillah. Why? Because chakras is easy. You get up, first order of business is to daven. Mariv is easy. Before you go to sleep, you daven Mariv. Mincha means I'm cutting out of my personal work time, especially this time of year. This man mincha is from roughly 12:45. The shki is at 4:45, 5 o'clock. You're working the whole time. A yid takes out of his parnotza time to make a buck, to make a deal, and I'm davening to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Ribbono Shel Olam says, that's Mesiras Nefesh. That's the sweetest tefillah of all, that you're actually being Meisar Nefesh to daven. And therefore, the mincha is the most niskabel, it's the most accepted tefillah. And it's interesting, the makor of tefillah's mincha is in the pasuk with Yitzchak, who is the inventor of mincha. The Gemara in Brachas tells us, it was Yitzchak. What's the pasuk by Yitzchak? Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basoda. Yitzchak daven ein sicha lo tefila. Sicha means tefila. Where did Yitzchak daven? Basoda. Soda is the workplace. It symbolizes the place of work. The farmer worked the fields. We work in urban areas. We work in offices. But that's mincha. Mincha is basoda. Mincha is when you work. So we want to know, when's the earliest time to daven mincha? Okay, when is the earliest time to daven mincha? So this is an important topic. Because again, what happens is people, they'll list, let's say, in Washington, you'll say, okay, let's stop it at 12:45. So for the, why isn't it 12:30? There's a whole topic I can't get in, I don't have time to get into, but I would love to. It relates to time zones. When they invented time zones were created, really a function of Greenwich, but America invented time zones. It was really the railroads. It was not the government. The railroads, every city had their own time zone. Because really time, you know how to define time? When the sun is the highest point in the sky, that's noon. Now, it was really different times of the year, so they created something called mean time, which meant mean time is the 24-hour days, even though it takes a longer, shorter. Mean time is an average time, but then that still wasn't enough in the industrial world that we lived in the 19th century, because every city had a different time. If you went on a train from Boston to Washington, you had 10 time zones, because Boston had its own time, and New York had its own time, and Philly had its own time, and Baltimore had its own time. Everybody had its own time. Why? Because midday is 12 o'clock. And midday in Baltimore is different than midday in New York, and different than Boston, and different than Detroit. So the trains were going crazy. There were accidents, and it was a tragic situation. Imagine if you're a conductor of a train, and you need a different schedule for every city, and you pull out the wrong schedule, Loyalenu, you can have a crash, and there were crashes. They created standard time. Standard time basically said, everybody turns their clock. Everybody's going to turn their clock. It happened on November the 18th, 1883. That's what it was. You're talking 100 and, you know, a long time ago, right? Close to 140 years ago. 130, whatever it was, right? So everyone changed the clock. They created four time zones. And the idea was that everybody turns their clock. The Eastern time zone turned their clock to Philadelphia. Why was Philadelphia Zaycha? Because every 15 degrees from Greenwich, Greenwich is, of course, the prime meridian. It's a suburb of London, and that was 0 degrees, and every 15 degrees was a new time zone. Every 15 degrees. If you wanted to celebrate the new year, you could have done it 37 times, because there's 37 time zones. 38, Yeshkar, some 38 time zones. Right? You could begin, why are there 24? Some time zones are 15-minute marks. They don't, like in Newfoundland, they have a half hour. Time. India is a half hour. So you could have celebrated the new year, marked the new year all the time. From Eastern time, from 5 a.m. on January 1st, on December 31st at 5 a.m., our time, the first location, the Millennium Islands in the Pacific Ocean, were ringing in the new year, until 7 a.m. this morning, when the Howland and Baker Islands were ringing in the new year. Now, no one lives there. In the Howland Baker Islands, but that's the time zone, right? So from 5 a.m., you have 27 different time zones. It goes by where they're located and the international dateline. So why was Philadelphia? Because they're 75 degrees. The further west you go in a time zone, the later the zmanim. So Detroit is why? Because they artificially turn their clocks in order to match Philadelphia time, so the Zmanim got later. Because one day at 11:30 in the morning, they turned their clocks to match Detroit. So the Zmanim are late. Washington is sort of average, a little drop late. Boston has very early times. Boston Shabbos starts before 4 o'clock in the winter time. Why? Why is that? Because one of the reasons they're eastern part of the time zone. So you had these time zones. So the bottom line is, why isn't Zmanim Mincha at 12:30. So the answer really is that the because of mean time, the Zman of Chatzos fluctuates in Philadelphia between 12:15 and 12:45. That's based, I'm not going to get into why, but it goes from 12:15 to 12:45. The further west you go in a time zone, the later the Zman of Mincha gets. It runs from roughly about 12:22 here to 12:52. So some people say, well, we're going to have Mincha at 12:30. Well, that's certainly not going to work here. But okay, we'll do 12:45. That's good. But no, because you have that extra time. So you want to always be careful that the Zman of Mincha is marching ahead rapidly now. By the time February rolls around, the Zman of Mincha is at 12:52. There's an interesting machlokes in the Mishnah Berurah brings how to calculate the half hour. It would seem to be you take Shos Manios, which means you take a half hour based on the length of the day. In other words, an hour is a 12th of the day. In the winter, a 12th of the day is relatively short. You take a 12th of that as an hour. A half of that is going to be in the winter 25 minutes. So I take Chatzos, midday, and I add 25 minutes, and I get Minchas at 12:47. Not so fast. The Mishnah Berurah says, one second. The half hour was added. One of the reasons is so you don't get mixed up. Why do we wait a half hour after Chatzais? Why can't I not have Mincha Chatzais? Chatzais is midday. The answer is because people look up. Oh, Shoyin Chatzais, the sun is eyes point in the sky. No, you were looking at an angle. You weren't looking at it properly. They tacked on a half hour to make sure to clearly the sun is now on its way towards the evening, and therefore that half hour is crucial. The Mishabura in the footnote in the Shartzian says maybe it's a full half hour. The bottom line is ideally a person should really wait to begin Ashrei at a half hour after after midday, which again in Washington I believe the latest time for Mincha I believe is 12:52, 12:53 approximately, and that's in February. So one should keep an eye on that time. What's that?
Daylight
savings time moves everything an hour late. That's correct. So in the winter, in the summertime, the latest Ma Mincha here is going to be about 1:51 maybe. That's in July. Has the latest Mincha Gdayla. It's again in Washington. I assume it's about 1:52 or so. In Baltimore, it's 1:50 or a little west of Baltimore. So I assume it's going to be about 1:52. Okay. So this is this man of. So now we've gone through Shacharis, okay? Now the Zman Kriya Shema, of course, is a little bit based on what you learned in the Gemara, and that is Zman Kriya Shema is a famous machlokes, but it's worth repeating, and that is to have an understanding of the Goyin and the Magen Avraham. I'm just going to basically go through that machlokes, and then I want to get into some other inyanim. What is the latest time to say Kriya Shema? So the Mishnah, beginning of in the first parak of Brachas, we learn about Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, we learn about Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. The latest time for Shema is 3 hours into the day. Those 3 hours are Shos Manias, based on the length of the day. The longer the day, the longer the hour, but then remember your day is beginning earlier in the morning, and the shorter the day, the shorter the Zman. I want to point out that daylight savings time good for the Jews or bad for the Jews? Right? That's everyone wants to know what's good or bad. Some say it's bad. Because, for example, in the summer, what is daylight savings time, right? Why do you move the clock an hour ahead? Because in the summer, the sun would rise at 4:40 a.m. in Washington and set at 7:40 p.m. And everybody's sleeping, most people, maybe not Washington, but in most places they're sleeping through the 4:40 to 5:40 a.m. It's a wasted hour of daylight. By turning the clock ahead an hour, you are now making sunrise at 5:40 a.m. and setting at 8:40 p.m. So you've basically moved the hour of sunlight from 4:40 a.m. to 5:40 a.m. to 7:40 p.m. and 8:40 p.m. when people will much more use it. So that's really bad because Shabbos is over late, right? And Tanesim fast days are over late, and Shabbos doesn't start till late. So many of us make early Shabbos. Why do we make early Shabbos? Because we don't want to, you know, daf mincha at 8:20, come home from shul at 9:30 Friday night. We want the kids are up, etc. We want to make earlier, right? So in that sense, it's bad for the Jews. Me'idach kisa, in a way, it's very good because without daylight savings time, the soif's man kriya shma. Imagine if sunrise was at 4:40 a.m. Now, you have 3 hours later is 7:40, but the hours are longer. They're based on the length of the day. So the Soif Zman Kriya Shema would be about 8:15, 8:20, right? So imagine if Soif Zman Kriya Shema was that early in the morning. It would be very, very early. So people with Shabbos, I mean, you'd have to, Shabbos, we want like to daven later. You would have to daven early. I remember I'll tell myself from my Rosh Shiva, from Chaim Levine, who was just Nifter. My interaction with him was I used to post the Zmanim in the Yeshiva. I posted the times for Shabbos. When they made daylight savings time, remember it used to be, the older Chevra will remember, daylight savings time used to end the end of April. We came back to Yeshiva, I believe the year was 1980. We came back from Pesach Ben Zmanim, and the daylight savings time had not gone into effect yet. It was the last Shabbos beforehand, and I looked at it, and Chicago has early Zmanim, and the Soif Zman Kriya Shema was at 8:15. So I spoke to our Yeshiva, what time should we make Shacharis? So he said, we usually the Yeshiva davened at 8 o'clock on Shabbos. So he said, we'll daven at 7:30. So I looked at him and I said, that's the same time we daven during the week. Maybe we could daven 5 minutes later and we'll still get the Soif Zman Kriya Shema in? So he thought of it and he says, okay, we'll daven 7:35, just so that the Bachram can sleep 5 minutes later. You know, it should be different than Shabbos. Right? But that's how early it was. So in a way, it's a chesed that the Soif Zman Kriya Shema is later, because that makes the earliest Zman Kriya Shema 9:15, and therefore typically even Shabbos, if you're davening 8:30, you're able to make this man. And even shuls that daven at 9, people come to shul and they know they have to say Kriya Shema before that man. How do you calculate the about Kriya Shema? So again, you take the length of the day. If you want just a rough way of doing it, you count how many minutes in a day. So you multiply the number of hours by 12, you add the number of minutes, you take the number of hours in the day, multiply by 60, add the number of extra minutes in the hour, and you get a number. You take that number, divide it by 12. That number is going to be the show's minus. So for example, if the day is 15 hours long, like in the summer, 15, you multiply by 60, you get 900, you divide by 12, you get 75. Each hour is 75 minutes long. So let's take a summer day. The 5:40 is sunrise. Shows manias are 75 minutes. So the end of the first hour is going to be at, first hour is 5:40, then you get 6:55, another hour, you end up with Krishma approximately, I think it comes about 9:15, 9:20. Okay, that's when it's going to be. However, the Magen Avraham said, one second, the day is not sunrise to sunset. The day is Alois HaShachar until Tzeisik HaChavim. It's dawn until it gets dark. So dawn until dark is a longer day. But you're starting earlier. You get a head start on the day from dawn. And it's much earlier. So Reb Henkin and Ezra Tari Luach uses 72 minutes for dawn, 72 minutes for Tzeisik HaChavim. According to Reb Henkin, the Magen Avraham, Tzeisik HaChavim, will be 36 minutes before the guidance. Which, why? We have to get through the math. So if the Seif Zman Kriya Shema is, let's say, at 9:30, according to the Magen Avraham, it's going to be roughly at 8:54, or whatever it is. So again, by Deiraisis, if you have the opportunity, if you get up early in the morning, Shabbos morning, and you have the opportunity to say Kriya Shema to make the Magen Avraham's time, again, it's a Deiraisa, it's a Mitzvah Deiraisa we like to treat seriously. If not, of course, you always want to make the Gain. If you sleep late, first thing you want to do is look at your watch and see, hey, one second, it's 9 o'clock. What time? I'm going to dive in late until I get my talis and tefillin. I'm traveling, etc. One should make sure always to say Kriya Shema before the Seif Zman of Kriya Shema. I just want to touch on two other things in Zmanim. And this is really a shir in its own right. And that is, what if you're in regions where there's no sunrise and sunset? I want to spend 5 minutes on that. And 5 minutes on the international dateline. If you're regions above the Arctic Circle, there are places in Alaska. There's a city in Norway, Longyearbyen. The further north you go, the longer the days. What if you're in a region where the sun doesn't go down? What do you do? When's Shabbos? Right? The sun never went down in Longyearbyen. The sun rises in May. It does. And the 1,500 people who live there, a professor who does work there, emailed me. A full professor who does work there, he was going to be there in November, right? He told me the Jewish students in the college, in the university in Longyearbyen. I said, let's set up a shir for Skype, right? I'll be happy to darshan about this, right? With the Longyearbyen, the yeshiva de Longyearbyen, right? Not yeshiva. So I haven't gotten the offer yet. I don't know if they might not want to hear what I have to say, right? So how do you keep Shabbos? What are you supposed to do? So there's a famous Tiferes Yisrael, very famous Tiferes Yisrael, that says that you go by your location where you came from. Close location. It's not clear, did he mean where you come from, the last city of Yin you were in? It's not clear. There are other opinions. I like to speak out to Reb Sternbach, the Ma'idim Uzmanim. He says, the way you calculate 7 days is, the sun goes down, it just doesn't set. So when the sun reaches it goes in the north, it goes to the lowest point in the sky and then starts to come up again. That's your seventh day, and that's when Shabbos begins. You just don't really have the ability to say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. You certainly can't eat matzah on Pesach. If Pesach fell out at the end of April in those regions, you'd be stuck. So it's not so advisable to go there. There are some, the Minchas Lozer speaks about this, and others that say you don't want to go there for the following reason. If you show up on a Friday afternoon and the sun sets at midnight, okay, and then the morning the sun comes up, oh, Shabbos, and then the sun doesn't go down because that's it, it's already May 15th, guess what? It's Shabbos for you until August. Because the sun never went down again. The sun is up. So do you want to, if you want a 3-month Shabbos, go ahead. Yom Shekula Shabbos, right? Right? So you have to be careful. So there's sveikas in going to these regions. What is Nageya is Anchorage. It's very Nageya. But in Anchorage are from a yin, Anchorage, Alaska. There are from a yin that go. And that live there, the sun always goes down every day of the year. It was actually a trip to Antarctica. I was in touch with the people who were in Antarctica about some of the zmanim there. They went to, they just came back, and this came up with northern regions. It was southern regions, but it was the same issue. The further south you go, you had some of these issues. They actually had to fast. Asar B'Teva. Let me explain to you Anchorage. I'll come back to Antarctica. In Anchorage, here's the issue. The sun goes down at sunsets at 11:45 at night. It rises at 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay, but it never really gets dark. Remember I mentioned Reykjavik, that there's no banish rush. Never really gets dark because the sun only dips below the horizon a little bit and then comes back up. So what happens is you go outside at 11:45, the sun goes down. Early Shabbos in Anchorage is 9:45 p.m. That's Plaga Mincha, right? It was the earliest. Just like here, you can make Shabbos at 7:05, 7:10. The ladies can bench licht in June at 7 and 7:10. And Anchorage, you gotta wait till 9:45. That's early Shabbos. Sun goes down 11:45. And now it's below the horizon. And it comes up at 4 a.m. It never gets dark. The darkest time of the night is when it would be Chatzais HaLaila. So when the Shabbos end, it never gets dark. The answer is Chatzais HaLaila. Chatzais in Anchorage is at 2:02 a.m. in June. 2:02 a.m. So why is it 2:02 a.m.? Because, and you have the same problem in Reykjavik also. In Reykjavik, the same issue. A lot of people go to Iceland now. The WOW Airlines goes. You know, everybody's running to Reykjavik, right? So what happens is that the sun goes below the horizon. It doesn't get dark. If it doesn't get dark, how does Shabbos end? Well, the answer is there comes a point where it's the darkest moment. The sun is the lowest point in the sky, and not in the sky, below the horizon, and then it starts to get light again. So basically, picture if you went outside, it looks like 25 minutes after sunset, and then it gets lighter again. So you basically go from night to dawn in a second, which means Shabbos doesn't end until 2 in the morning, because it doesn't get dark until 2 in the morning. That's the darkest moment, and now it's Sunday morning. By definition, it's dawn of Sunday morning. So basically, you're going from Tzeisik HaChavim on Matzei Shabbos to dawn in a snap of a finger. That's what's happening. So you can't make Abdullah until 2 o'clock in the morning. Without Psalmim, well, Psalmim you can technically do, but without a Nair. You can't take a Nair before 2 a.m. because it's Shabbos. You can't take a Nair after 2 a.m. because it's Sunday morning. Malava Malka, forget that, right? There's no Malava Malka. Because at 2 a.m., it's already dawn. You can't eat anymore, right? It's time for Shacharis, right? It's the Yikiyah Zman, Zman, Shal Tarkrish, Shal Shacharis. It's Shacharis. So you don't know Malava Malka. You know Malka by your bagels and lox. So the lox of bagels. Sunday morning, it'll be a Malava Malka, right? So Lamai said, oh, it doesn't get dark. What do you daven? So I tell people like this. You daven Marev. You could daven really from Plaga Milka. Ideally, wait till Shkia. And then really, the real way to do this is get up at 1:45 in the morning and repeat Shema, because that's when you're davening at 11 o'clock, it's like you're davening here at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock tonight, you're going to go daven Ma'ariv, you're all going to say Kriya Shema later at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. But if there, the darkest moment is 1:45, so you go to sleep, set your alarm for 1:45, and say Kriya Shema again, 1:55, right before Chatzais, and then say it again. Because after dawn, there's the Shasat Chak, you can be able to Kriya Shema Shalavis also. Shasat Chak, you didn't have any light. So that's when Shabbos will end. So a tainus, Shivas Batamas, is difficult in Anchorage. Why? Because when does this fast begin? Well, at the crack of dawn. When is the crack of dawn? 2 a.m. Let's say Shivas Batamas is a Tuesday. Tuesday morning at 2 a.m. is the crack of dawn. That's when the fast begins. Okay, when does the fast end? Well, when it gets dark. But it never really gets dark. It gets dark at 2 a.m. So your Shivas Batamas here ends at 9:40, 9:20. Over there, it's basically 24 hours. It's really like Tisha B'Av. So the people that went to Antarctica, they were in a region very, very close. They had a very, very, they had a sunset. That was part of our discussions about exactly sunset. The major discussion exactly. Was there a sunset? Not according to some. Yeah, according to some not. But anyway, they had a sunset. It didn't really get dark. So they were there, Asar B'Teves. Of all the time to pick a cruise, they picked Asar B'Teves in the southern hemisphere. By us, Asar B'Teves is the shortest. In the southern hemisphere, it's summer. Like Australia, it's summer. So therefore, it's a long day. In Australia, Asar B'Teves goes till 9 o'clock at night. They were like in Anchorage, but in the southern hemisphere. So there, Asar B'Teves began at about 1:30 in the morning and ended at 1:30 at night. Someone told me, they asked me, they had Tehrim, etc. I got a few of these shilas. Someone else said they're going to be at sea. I said, look, if you're at sea, it's choppy waters, you know? So it's even more. I said, look, if you're a chayla, 24 hours is not easy. See, if you don't feel well, about your chayla, but there's no, really no heter. You have to really fast until until it gets dark. Rabbi Heineman had a great line. Rabbi Heineman, I was working in the Star K. I mentioned this to Rabbi Heineman, and I said, you know, you picture like to go on a Sar Bateves on a cruise. Like he says, yeah, that way they could save on all the food they got to put out, right? They were fasting the whole day. You know, cruises they put out a whole spread. So that's what happens. Now you're thinking, okay, you're not going to Anchorage. It's not Nagaya you, but you know what? When you fly on planes, this is very, very, very Nagaya Shiloh. Very relevant, because when you fly on a plane, they often go over the northern regions. They go over, they fly the polar route. And if you look at the longer the flight, and flights now are flying longer than ever, you can go Shanghai to Newark, you could fly. You very long flights that are going. And therefore, they take polar routes. There's the biggest Shiloh, a Rav in Los Angeles was speaking to me about this, where the flights from, there's a nonstop in El Al, from LA to Tel Aviv. You know how long that flight is? Unbelievably long. They take polar routes. So big Shiloh, the Kavitz Halachas, speaks about how to count Svira. If you go, it was like him, his Svira lives in Los Angeles, and he said, I get on the plane to go, he was living in Eretz Yisrael, he was visiting his in-laws for Pesach, and it was a late Pesach. He gets on a plane. The plane flies a polar route. It never got dark. He didn't know when to count Sphere with a bracha. So you have to count without a bracha. It doesn't get dark. When did you have a Ma'ariv? Someone, L.A. Rav called me up. Someone took the 1 a.m. flight. Someone took they took the 1 a.m. flight to L.A. I forgot which airlines are on. There's another. There's United has a flight to San Francisco. I don't recall exactly which flight. Took off at 1 a.m. in the summertime. The flight flew way north. And all of a sudden, there was a sunrise. So he davened chakras. And then it got dark again because they went south. And then it got light again. So does he davened chakras again or not? I told him, you don't have to davened chakras again. Which leads to the final 5 minutes we have, and that's the International Dateline. The International Dateline is the most fascinating topic that's there. I actually have articles online if you want to read more about this. I have an article about northern regions called When Does One Pray When There Is No Day? Right? A guide to observance and prayer times in Arctic regions and outer space. Actually, outer space is, I don't know if anyone at NASA works here, but if you want a rabbinic consultant for how to handle with the halacha, we'll be happy to meet with the NASA people. But all kidding aside, the International Dateline, and I'm going to end by 11:30, is of course two issues, which I'll briefly discuss. One issue is if you go to New Zealand, when it's Shabbos, there's exactly a machlokes, where is the dateline? The famous machlokes, the Chazon Ish held, it basically runs on the coast of Asia, the coast of Australia, and the Reb Chaim Chotchinsky held it goes on the opposite side of Yerushalayim, which is roughly somewhere between Los Angeles and Hawaii. According to some opinions, Hawaii is on the other side of the dateline, which means, according to some opinions, when they say it's Friday, it's really Shabbos. Because when you go to Hawaii, you're crossing the dateline. On the way here, I was talking to somebody who wants to take a vacation to Hawaii. We were going through exactly how to deal with it. Many Paskin don't do Dereises on Friday. If you go from sunset on Friday, don't do Dereises, don't do Torah prohibitions, because you have viable opinions that hold that it's Shabbos. So therefore, you have to be careful. The more relevant Shiloh, though, is how to deal with when you cross the dateline, how to daven. You say, I'm not going to Hawaii, I'm not going to New Zealand, I'm not going to Japan. So it won't be Nagaya. But will be Nagaya if you fly to the Far East on business, for pleasure, whatever it might be. Very fascinating Shiloh. This is a huge machlokes, how to deal with crossing the dateline as follows. And and that is, number one, let's talk about when you fly west. You fly to Hong Kong. You get on a plane on Monday afternoon. You daven mincha before you get on the plane. And now the plane flies. It's a long day. One long day. Day. All of a sudden it's Tuesday afternoon. Do you daven mincha again? Do you put on tefillin again? Some say no, because you didn't experience a sunset, nothing. You just sat there. It was a whole long day. Some say, one second. No, you went from Monday to Tuesday. It's a new day. If you fly the other way, you have appetite, Shiloh. If you take off from Shanghai on a Monday afternoon, you daven mincha, shacharis Monday morning, mincha Monday afternoon, and all of a sudden you land in San Francisco, and guess what? It's Monday morning again. Oh, I daven shacharis Monday morning, but one second, I experience a sunset, I experience a sunrise. What do you do? I'm going to end with two fascinating cases, two of my favorite cases discussed. One was my uncle. My uncle, Zayn Gesund, he flew to Australia to visit his children and his grandchildren. He called up, he said, I'm a Rebbe. He called the airline, I have miles. Give me the first available ticket on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. No, Shabbos Shail is nothing. You take off Sunday night, you land Tuesday morning. So they said, okay, sir, we have the exact day. We have a Monday night, July 9th. Oh, Gvaldik, perfect. Beautiful, right in the middle of summer. Great, school's out. Fantastic. He looks at his calendar and he calls me up. He says, Dovey, you know what I just did? It was 2 weeks later, you can't change these tickets anymore. Tuesday was Shivasa Batamas. He's taking off Monday night, and the flight is dark. He's taking off from LA at 10:30 Monday night. It's a dark flight, and he lands Wednesday morning in Australia. He will never experience Tuesday day. So I said, Uncle Usher, you don't have to fast. You're off. You don't have to fast because he never experienced the day of Shavuot Thomas. I'll end with my favorite case. A boy is bar mitzvah. Let's say Shavuot Thomas. I'll use that example because I want to talk about Elaine in the afternoon. He's in Seoul, South Korea with his family. And he's bar mitzvah on the 18th of Thomas. Let's say it's a Wednesday. 18th of Thomas. Okay, so it's Tuesday is a tinus. He fasts the fast. And he fasts, he's still cotton, he's not bar mitzvah until the 18th, he fasts, everything's great. Comes Tuesday night, and they break the fast, everybody makes a l'chaim, he even davens ma'ariv for the amid, he's bar mitzvah, it's Yud Ches Tammuz. And he says, okay, l'chaim, bar mitzvah. They board a plane to fly to Los Angeles. The plane takes off at 8 o'clock in the evening, and it lands in Los Angeles, 8, 9 o'clock, let's say, after Tetzis Nechavim, and it lands in Los Angeles at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the 17th of Thomas. He goes to shul, and he asks the gabbai, could I have an aliyah? And the gabbai says, 1 second over here, I got your invitation to your bo bayom bar mitzvah, and it's for tomorrow afternoon, the 18th of Thomas. You can't get an aliyah. You're not bar mitzvah yet. So he says, no, you don't understand. I became bar mitzvah in South Korea. We just got off the plane at LAX and we just ran straight to shul. I became bar mitzvah last night. What's the halacha? Can you become unbar mitzvahed or not? That's a shaila. Because you go back in time. So the Tarach Yisrael brings a machloikas. He asked Reb Scheinberg, said no, once bar mitzvah, always bar mitzvah. Right? However, another sefer Yemei Nechemya says no. In other words, you went backwards in time. In other words, you are no longer bar mitzvah. You became bar mitzvah. You no longer you got to wait till Tzitzit Chavim. Thank you very much for listening. Mitzvah Shem, we should be zaycha to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam the Kiddush of Tahara. Thank you.